Today on Real Radio.
And the train of his robe filled the temple, or the glory of his robe filled the temple. Do you see God glorious? Or he's the big man upstairs?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? It's a collection of topical lessons that takes a look at what Scripture has to say about the activities and lifestyles of the believer. That's you and me, by the way. In recent days, we've heard Pastor Jack answering some of these questions like, why should I go to church? And why should I fellowship? Today's lesson is right up that alley. Why should I worship? And we're talking about going far beyond congregational singing. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called, Why Should I Worship?
But there is a holy worship and there's an unholy worship. And the Bible records and reveals the truth about worship and who is to be worshiped. Sadly, many Christians today are either ignorant about worship. Listen, they're either ignorant about worship or they're so backslidden that worship is missing from their diet. They don't even have the craving. Listen up, church, and I speak to this church and this church only. If we are not a worshiping church, that is, if we're not coming in here with hot hearts, that's why I wore the red shirt today. Hot. To worship. Just to psychologically send a message. We need to come in here, man, I want to worship God. I want to give God glory. But if we come in here so backslidden that to enter into the courts of praise and to the sanctuary of worship, that if we're so backslidden that we come in and we're critiquing and criticizing and we're murmuring and complaining, don't you dare think for a moment that you have even come near to worshiping God. He will not accept that offense. Have we come this morning with hearts excited? Oh, God in heaven, hear our worship. No wonder why we should worship God. He's awesome. It's a spiritual act. And we as a people, we need to remember this. We're Christians. It doesn't mean we belong to a club. And frankly, it doesn't even mean we belong to this church. When we're Christians, it means that we belong to the body of Christ, which is universal, the church in all the earth. No membership of any denomination gets you anywhere concerning heaven. But knowing Christ does. Remember this. In fact, even in our world today, we tell our kids to go to school, go to college, study, do the best you can. But you know what? Frankly, in some respects, it all comes down to getting that job, not what you know, because there's a lot of smarter people than us. How do you get that job? Yeah, it's not what you know. It's who you know. It's who you know. And your friend who may be competing for you against that job at IBM or wherever it might be, they may know Mr. I or B or M. But you may know the Lord of heaven and earth. And if it's God's will you have that job, you seek Him, God will bless you with that job or with that place or with that position, whatever it might be. Or with that, by the way, husband or that wife or that relationship. But listen, church, remember this. All of our Bible knowledge about what we know, and man, this needs to be said today. All of our Bible knowledge will soon mean nothing. All of our doctrine that we, especially as Calvary Chapel, we study the Bible. We divorce ourselves from men's opinions. We don't listen to a pastor, a teacher that tells us what to believe and tells us what to think. We have a pastor, teacher, ministry within Calvary Chapels worldwide that tell you, this is what the Bible says, but you go search and see for yourself. With Paul the Apostle, we agree. I give you these things, but you search and see and examine the Scriptures to determine whether these things be so, Paul said, Acts 17:11. The great thing about that is this. No matter how much knowledge we attain as a spiritual person, the moment we die, or the moment we get raptured, or once we enter into eternity with God, It doesn't matter. We've all joked around, there's going to be a final quiz. You better get this point down. You know, there'll be a test at the end of your life. Oh, that's not true. All the smart people are not going to be up front near the throne. It will be all the equal people. And do you know how we become equal? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you see in the Bible how kings believed in him. The most powerful man that ever ruled the world was a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar gave glory to God and confessed, it doesn't matter what I know, and it doesn't matter the great kingdom I've built, God alone rules and reigns from heaven. It doesn't matter what you know, and it doesn't matter how much power you have, because then you can look in the Bible, you can see the person who does not have, in fact, a place to live, a person who has no money, a person who, in fact, that old little widow at the temple gave her last two mites that she needed to live on. She gives to God in an act of worship. And the word in the Greek, you know this, it's the word bios. Remember, you guys all know this. The word bios means her livelihood. She gave to God the very money she needed to take away the hunger, pain in her belly. She gave to God the money that she needed to pay her rent. She gave to God the money she needed to live that day. She gave it to God. And Jesus says, oh, guys, did you see that? And that's a beautiful thing when Jesus questioned his disciples. Did you see that? Frankly, probably no. Because you know what? If you've studied about temple giving, it was quite disgusting. Because they would come into the temple, the people, the worshipers, they would come in, and I kid you not, research it and see. Have you ever heard the term tooting your own horn? That's where it came from. The people who had the bucks, they would come into the temple. They would come in, let's say for argument, let's just say the church. They would come into the church, and with all of their wealth and all of their pomp and glory, they'd come in, and they had on their pinky, on their little baby finger, a little trumpet. It was on a ring. Remember when we were kids, used to buy the, was it ice cream or what was that thing? Hey, anybody in here over 45, raise your hand for crying out loud. 10 of us. Remember you used to buy whatever it was from the ice cream truck that used to go around? And whatever it was, you'd eat it and drink it or whatever. And then you, oh, now you got it. Remember, you'd blow that thing. That's what they used to do. They would come in. They'd pull out their money. Everyone would go, ho, ho, what's that? And then they would go, ka-plonk, into the brass coffers of the offering. And everyone would go, oh, 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 what an offering. Boy, when I grow up someday, I'd like to make an offering like that. You think God was impressed with that? That was Jesus' whole point. He says, I tell you what, everybody, hey, guys, listen up. You see that little lady who gave little tiny bits? I mean, when she put hers in, it went tink. He said, I tell you, that woman gave more to God than all these people. It's the matter of the heart. And frankly, it's the matter of the sacrifice. Do we trust God enough? It's a spiritual act. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't matter how much you know. In eternity, it matters if you worship God, and that's right now. Oh, listen. It doesn't matter if you are now thinking, I'm going to say something very, very challenging. If you are a person who's sitting here and you come in from week to week and you're thinking, you know what, I don't need to learn these songs. I'll just wait to sing when I get in heaven. My friend, you've completely missed your relationship with Jesus Christ. You've missed it. One of the most awesome privileges of being this earthbound believer that you are and that I am is that as often as we so choose, we can leave this planet. By worshiping God, we get enthralled and enraptured in who He is. Worship. once we break whatever holds us down in this area of worship, you, your life, spiritually, us together, this church will know no boundaries. God will bestow upon us the Holy Spirit's ability to do anything in this world that God so chooses if we will only worship. So if you're thinking, well, worship's not that big of a deal, I have to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ personally? You may be very religious. You may have a lot of knowledge. You may be able to quote chapter verse. But someday that knowledge will mean nothing. And will you have worshiped God in your life? We're going to be in heaven. It won't matter how many missionary trips you've taken, or your great missionary or evangelistic exploits. It won't matter once we're in heaven how many people we led to Christ. What will matter is if you and I right now can sing, worship, praise, and dedicate our lives as an act of worship to God. Doesn't matter about our good works, our ministries, the very gifts that we have. It's all going to be done away. Isn't it true? It will be done away. It will be gone. Because all of those things will be replaced by perpetual, eternal worship. So you know what? We need to practice a lot. All the time. It's all about worship. Isaiah chapter 6, turn there if you like. Mark it down if you would. Isaiah chapter 6, you got to love it. You want to know why? Isaiah was quite a spoiled man in the beginning of his life. He was a rich kid. Did you know that? The prophet Isaiah, he was born into privilege. He had a lot of influence, a lot of wealth, came from a privileged home. Influential Isaiah. He was best friends to the king of the nation. Him and Uzziah, they were great buddies. Listen carefully. It doesn't take much to read between the lines of Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. He says, Isaiah writing, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." By the way, a lot of Hebrew scholars believe that the reason why Isaiah puts it that way is because Isaiah could not see the Lord while Uzziah was alive, because Uzziah was too big of a man in the eyes of Isaiah. Uzziah was almost like an idol. Great king. Oh, what a tremendous man. And then Isaiah confesses, in the year that he died, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What did he see? He saw the Lord seated upon his throne. That's a good place. The Lord's in the right spot in your worship. High and lifted up. Christian, is the Lord high and lifted up in your estimation? Or is he just your big buddy in the sky? And the train of his robe filled the temple, or the glory of his robe filled the temple. Do you see God glorious? Or is he the big man upstairs? Above it, the temple, stood seraphim. Study those guys. They're weird. They're an angelic order that will freak you out. Listen, each one had six wings. With two, that's two of those wings, he covered his face. So get that. It's with, with one set of wings, he's covering his face. With the other set of wings, he's covering his feet. And with the other set, he flew. Seems to me if you have six wings, you need them to fly with. Whatever you are. Seraphim reside in the presence of God. God, when he created them, gave them six wings. Isn't that trippy? See, Jack, that kind of scares me. No, they're incredibly beautiful. We think of six wings and some creature. To us, it looks like a dragon, right? Some kind of a freaky-looking medieval dragon. Apparently not. They're extremely beautiful. I know it sounds weird, doesn't it? I can't wait, but we're going to see these guys when we get there. Oh, man, there's the seraphim. We learned about those in church. We're going to be like, there he is. There's one right there. Think about it. So when they come into the presence of God, or are they always in the presence of God? It appears so. They've got two wings covering their face. Now watch. You have to watch. Are you looking up here? Watch. Two wings covering their face. Then they've got two wings covering their feet. They got to come down over their body to cover their feet. Then with two wings, I imagine the remaining wings, they're flapping like all get out just to say aloft, you know. So what are they covering their faces? Why are they covering their bodies for? Because of the glory of God. No wonder why Paul the Apostle says that God, who dwells in unapproachable lights, is he who no man has ever seen nor can see and live. We're going to heaven. But the Bible says that we have to go through a, and the Greek word is metamorpho. We get the word metamorphosis. You and I cannot see God face to face until we have a metamorphosis. This literal, physical, biological structure of who we are, the Bible teaches we will be molecularly rearranged. It's called resurrection. And if somebody were dead right here on the floor right now and they were resurrected, their dead body would not be there anymore. It would be changed in a moment, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh man, no wonder why we say, oh God, you know what? We want to worship you. Wow! A spiritual act of worship. Isaiah goes on. Listen. Isaiah 6:3 says, and one cried to the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They're all saying it to each other. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, this is Isaiah speaking, quoting, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people, or unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the king, not King Uzziah, he's a little king. This is the king, the Lord of hosts. And before we leave off of this verse regarding our spiritual dynamic of worship, keep this in mind. When those holy seraphim angels are saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, repeated again in the book of Revelation, guess what? They mean it. The Bible says they do not cease to say it day and night. Now, I don't know how that sits with you. I mean, look at us. It's like, we'll listen to something. See a movie. That's a good one. You know, see a movie. A couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, when you hear something over again, it just becomes callous. I was at Disneyland going on, the Soaring Over California ride. And the guy's talking on the screen, and the attendant that's seating us, she's just going, and she's mouthing exactly the words of what's being broadcast on the screen. And you could tell it's falling right out of her face, right out of her mouth, but she doesn't, it's not a clue. It's just a routine. You ever seen when something becomes routine? It's like when we were in school. I pledge allegiance, the United States of America, one nation of God. Okay, fine. It's like no big deal. Do you think these angels in their presence of God going, holy, holy, oh, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, the Almighty? No. They do it day and night, forever and ever. They have been. They're doing it right now. They're doing it right now. And they're going to do it forever. And you know what? They like it. They love it. And we need to saying to the Lord, give me that kind of heart. Because you know what? They're going to have to move over someday. Because you and I will be there. The book of Revelation is such a glorious book. And where do you see the church? Praising God in heaven in the book of Revelation. A multitude so vast, called out from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And what are they doing? Are they witnessing from door to door? No. Are they feeding the homeless in heaven? No. Not at all. What are they doing? They're worshiping.
I love it.
Well, jot this down if you would. Worship as a spiritual act, it requires new spirituality. Can you put that down, please? It requires new spirituality. Meaning, you cannot worship God, the Bible says, unless you're born again. You can't do it. You must be born again. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, John 20, 21, Jesus said unto them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this unto them, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John chapter 20, verses 21 to 22, is that moment for the first time regarding the birth of the New Testament believer. It was in that moment of John chapter 20 when the believers were born again. The Spirit of God began to dwell in them when Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He came inside of them at that moment. And then, of course, the book of Acts is when he came upon them for ministry. You and I must be born again to worship God. Our hearts need to be completely changed before we can worship God rightly, says the Bible. So we need a new spiritual birth. And I want to ask you this morning, regarding the pathology of worship, have you experienced a new spiritual birth? You say, "Well, Jack, why are you saying this?" Because listen, you can be religious. You can be a choir director. You can be a worship leader. And listen, you can miss heaven. That sounds awful mean. Who was the greatest worship leader ever created? Louis Lucifer. Lucifer. God created him. Read the book of Ezekiel. Read the book of Isaiah. It's trippy. The Bible says, and if my memory serves me right, I don't have it in my notes, I think it's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. If it's not, reverse those chapters. And read about him. He's pretty interesting, Satan is.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "Why Should I Worship?" It's part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies called the "Why Should I?" series. Lessons that take a look at how the Scriptures command and admonish the believer to live out the Christian life. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We've all heard those quaint little sayings like "prayer changes things" or "I believe in the power of prayer." Well, these cute little bumper stickers and t-shirts may sound spiritual, but do we truly understand what it means to pray, and do we actually comprehend the privilege to communicate with the one true God of Israel? Well, these are just some of the topics covered in Pastor Jack's audio series called When a Christian Prays. When a Christian Prays is a 2-CD set that we're offering here at Real Radio for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach. I'll say that again. For your contribution of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD series called When a Christian Prays. Call, click, or write, but do it right away. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the banner on the right there that says Special Offer. Or maybe you prefer the traditional way, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.